K4OIM, K4OIM. This is K1CJW in Dickens. Are you in there, Walt? CJW, K4OIM. How are you doing today, Roland?
No problems. I got up. How about you?
Myself lucky that when I do get up in the morning, I had started out with my brothers. He wanted me to get on the internet, get him a carburetor for a lawnmower, and on the way over there, I think my right front wheel bearing went out in my truck. I had to turn around and get it home. And I'm waiting on my daughter to get home now so I can go get a wheel bearing.
Yeah, I know. I don't have car problems anymore. I accidentally drove into my daughter's house last November. I blacked out or something. I don't even remember doing it until I hit the house, and it sort of woke me up, and it happened before. So I decided it was time for me to give up driving before I hurt somebody real bad or cause a major accident. So I got rid of my car. I used to fly my own airplanes. I got heart trouble, so the doctors wouldn't sign me off anymore, so I lost my wings, so to speak. So I couldn't fly anymore, so I got rid of that airplane. And then I lost my driving privileges. And my legs aren't the greatest in the world, so I'm kind of restricted at home. Go ahead, Walt.
Like I am after that stroke, and the only visible effects I've got is my left hand. I used to play guitar, and my left hand, my little finger and the one next to it, they don't work no more. They kind of stay kind of halfway closed up, and then my left shoulder, where they had to go in there and cut some nerves and all to get those plates in my neck. I have no feeling in my left shoulder. It stays ice cold all the time. And here in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I can't walk like I used to. My left leg just gives out on me. I mean, it gets tired real easy. You know, I keep thinking if I get out and get more active and all, and maybe it'll get better, but seems like every day I can't walk as much. Sometimes I'm like that when I get up, and then the next day I can get out here and mow the grass and weed eat, and everything's just fine. But and then all at once, I've had to go to the car, be in Walmart with my daughter, and my leg just give out. I'd have to give her what I had and give her my debit card and say, I'll meet you at the truck.
Another feeling. Yeah, another feeling. Getting old. Whoever said that getting old was the golden years must have been retarded, because there's nothing golden about it. Hey, now to change the subject. Are you doing anything on 20 meters?
I don't have a 20-meter antenna up. I got a 20-meter double bazooka out here, and I was thinking about it this morning. I said, I think I ought to get that 20-meter up, and I've got a 6-meter dipole I need to get up. But then I got a Cushcraft A3 set of beams up here. To work 20, 15, and 10. But I've got a fan dipole up right now for
stations on there in the last month or two. It's getting more active now. Yeah, I was talking to a guy yesterday that said 10 meters had been opening up.
I'm asking you. Actually, I've been a ham for a long time. Actually, I've been a ham for, 1950, 71 years. That's a long time. I used to be a novice. My call used to be KN1CJW. But they don't have that anymore. And what they used to do when you went from novice to general, they just dropped the N and you became K1CJW. And I've been without radios for about, 20, 25 years. I was actually without radios. But back in the, not 25 years, maybe 20 years. I used to live in Florida, and I had a tri-bander then, and I had 20 meters and all that good stuff, and worked the world and did whatever I wanted to do. But around last January, I decided that I had to stay home quite a bit, so I might as well get something to do, so I decided to go back into ham radio. So I bought a used Icon, it's a 728, and I bought an MMJ N-Fed antenna, which is up. And the noise was unbelievable on 20 meters. It was unreal. I could not make a contact. So I put it away and bought a brand new Icon. I figured that would take care of the problems. When I bought a brand new Icon, the noise was still unbelievable. So I sent it to Icon. They told me there's nothing wrong with the radio. They told me I even had my daughter drive me 10 miles away from here so that I could try it maybe with something into the house. But I was wondering if you're coming across any noise at all in 20 meters. K1CJW.
Here in the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've... The sun's had some solar flares, and the noise is unreal. And I don't know if that's affecting 2 meters or not, but 3 weeks ago, I could hardly call the net. I couldn't hear nothing but static. And they've been having some trouble with the repeater. Something up there is keying the transmitter up. I was about to turn into my 2 meter base station because I'd be sitting here on HF and I'd look over there and I'd see my transmitter, my 2 meter was keyed up. And it just, for a second, it's like somebody just playing with the mic, keying it up. And I went outside and got on my mobile, and it was doing the same thing. And I've got 2 HTs. They were doing it. I said, well, it's not the radios. It's the repeater. And Johnny and Dave and all of them, they've been up there experimenting. They've tried everything to see what's causing the emission up there. But yes, 20 meters, it is really noisy. I've got a Hustler 4-band vertical up out here that I just unplugged the coax from my antenna switch because absolutely no need in trying to get on the radio on a vertical right now.
Somebody wanted to sell me that exotic antenna, but I didn't set it up. Actually, the noise is the greatest on 20, and as I go down towards 40, 80, it goes down, but it's still there, always up to 10. But 20 meters is the worst band there is, so I guess I'm just going to have to wait till we get more sunspots or something. I don't know. Tell you the truth, I'm not too crazy about these new radios.
I used to have a Kenwood 520. And I thought it was the greatest radio in the world. So I went on eBay a couple of months ago, but one thing I had forgotten, it requires a special power supply. No, I'm sorry. That's not it. I bought a Swan 500. That's what it is. I bought a Swan 500 on eBay. And I never owned a Swan before, but I wasn't aware that it requires a special power supply, so because I was going to try that. And when I bought it, I was told that the radio was working fine. In fact, I still got it right here. But I was never able to verify that because it needs a different power supply. So, and they do sell them on eBay. They want about $500 for them. I've already got about $300-$400 invested in it. I figured I wasn't going to invest another $400 on something that don't work. So I gave up on that. All right, go ahead, Walt, K1CJW.
KI4LZR4.
Go ahead.
There's two or three repeaters up on the Caesar's head that this noise is getting into it. What is this one? And the 145.47 that's meant to be for Skyworm purposes, has been timed over the past good many months, it makes it completely unused. Completely unused. And that even with a tone on it, so. There is definitely something going on up there on Caesar's head, but as Johnny and some of our group over here were helping out with Billy's 4-7 machines found out, everybody don't want to take on up what's doing it. It's this here, this here, but you know. And the way it's going, who knows when it'll be to ever can track it down is what's going on up there. Repeater. A couple of years old, because he's been dealing with this problem on 4-7 for quite a few years up there. Got brand new duplexes too. I mean, that really spent more than I can imagine trying to get that repeater up to par. New duplexes, even like I said, a couple of years ago, a new repeater, and it's still interfering with.
No idea. None whatsoever. I've been out of ham radio for quite a few years, like I was telling Walt, and the technology has changed so much it's got me flabbergasted here. All it is today, you push buttons and that's it. I used to like the old radios better than the new ones, but that's, I guess you call that advanced technology. K1CJW. Go ahead, Walt.
I hate to disappoint you, but that Swan 500, I've owned two of them, and I've never paid over $150 a piece for them with the power supply. But, man, you talking about a radio that drifts. They are notorious for drifting. And I gave both of mine away to a guy that was said he was going to go through it and update it. And as far as I know, he's never got them to stop drifting.
I think I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to deep six to get rid of it. I'm not going to sell it, that's for sure. But if anybody wants it, they just give it to them for free. Because I'm not going to spend any more money on something like that. I didn't know what I was doing. I had been away from radio for so many years, and I think my brain went a little stale there for a second on it. Go ahead, Paul.
I've owned a few Swans and several Kenwood TS-440Ss, and those were great radios. And then I decided to upgrade, and I sold I had two 440 TSs. I sold both of them and bought a Yaesu FT-450, and that thing had more menus in it than I knew what to do with. I could never get it to transmit CW. And I sold it and bought this FT-950, and it's got a lot of menus in it. One button to do 10 or 15 things depending on which button you push prior to that button. But I've got it figured out pretty good. But I always check in the South cars on 40 meters in the morning. And Brian up in Bristol, Tennessee, he said he didn't know what was going on. Said there was so much noise today. He couldn't even hear me. I had to get Dan down in Lake City, Florida, running 1,500 watts to relay me into the net this morning. But it's got a lot to do with the solar flare-ups right now, Roland. K4OIM for ID.
We're going to have to wait till, what is it, 2025 supposed to be the maximum? Going to have to wait for a couple more years. I was a ham back in the 50s, and in fact, my first radio was a Helicopter S50. Not S50. I forgot now. But it was strictly a receiver. And I had a heat kit transmitter that I built. And believe it or not, I think I used to like that better than what I see today. Today it's all... It's unreal. It's so changed so much. It's unbelievable. And in fact, the icon I bought is a 718. The buttons are so small... I use a pencil to push the buttons because if I use my fingers, I wind up pushing two at a time, so forth. And that's the only way I've been able to operate it. Anything else you can talk about, Walt?
Tell them about that website, Walt. KI4LZI4.
Andy, go ahead and tell him about it. He might enjoy that.
The place out in California where they reconditioned and restored all kinds of old radio equipment. From the very beginning up to the time that solid state started coming in, vacuum tubes is going now. Where this Hamlin Helicraft is national. Even some old surplus stuff from World War II, broadcast. I tell you, that would take a... You go down there and look at that website, you'll see a lot of stuff that probably y'all saw way, way back. And if you happen to have any of that stuff, and you go on that website, it might help you repair it, possibly.
The web address is?
Radio Boulevard, but it's BLVD. Radio Boulevard, BLVD. com.
I'll definitely go look at it later. But the swan that I got now, I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm going to, if anybody wants it, like I said, they can have it. I don't even want it. I also got a Helicrafter receiver here that I know doesn't work, and I'm not able to work on them because at my age, my eyes aren't the greatest, and sometimes I have a problem just screwing a screw. My hands are shaking too much, so. But I will go on that website, and thanks for it. I appreciate it very much. K1CJW. Go ahead.
KK4JD. Sorry to interrupt. I was listening to the conversation. I would love to get my hands on that swan if things don't work out for you. Getting it repaired. I would I would gladly take that off your hands if you would want to go that direction. Name is Joe, and the call sign is Kilo 4, Juliet Delta. Over.
And if you want it, just come over and get it. It's yours.
Could I get your call, and I'll look up your address on QRZ.
It's Kilo 1, Charlie Juliet Whiskey. And I'll give you my phone number, but make sure you call me before you come here, because I may not be home. My phone number is 864-507-0249. This one looks very good. It looks very nice and everything, but there is no power supply. And I was told it works, but I was never able to verify it.
I appreciate it. I'll give you a call. All right, I'm going to duck out of that. Sorry to interrupt, guys. I'll let you guys continue. Kilo 4, Juliet Delta, clear.
Okay, no problems. I don't know if you can do any good with it, but I can't. I'm not investing in a power supply because the ones I seen on eBay, they were like $400 or $500. And I don't know how much I'd pay for this radio. I think it was like $250, something like that. But I was never told it needed a special power. But I didn't do my homework. Shame on me. Go ahead, Bob.
Of holocraft or receiver you got there, Roland?
I think it's an S-40 Baker. If you want to, I can go. It's not in this room. It's in the other room. I can go look.
Tell him to take it and look and check that website. That holocrafters might be on that website. KI4LZI4.
Okay.
Ever heard of a holocrafter with the SB prefix? All I know of is the SX, because I've got an SX, I believe it's a 111 here, that I've recapped and everything, but the pulley up on the left side for the dial string, that thing is broke off. Yeah, I'm going to have to find one that is junk to get the, I have to have the whole faceplate. I imagine I could probably cut the pulley off of one that's junked out and epoxy it back on, but I'd rather just replace the whole thing, because it's got one, two, three, four pulleys on that thing, and I'd rather just replace the whole faceplate on it. I've went through it, I've recapped it, and aligned it and everything, and it's one heck of a receipt. The main band dial on it does not work. I can leave the cover off and tune it with my hand, but you never know where you're at, because the needle on the dial position is on that string, and I've got everything but that faceplate. Anyway, back to you, Roland, K4OIU, and glad you and your KI4LZI, Andy.
Okay, well, do you want me to go look at the model number?
In mine, I'd even buy it from you.
Just give me 2 or 3 minutes, and I'll be right back. K1CJW.
For LZI Portable, he was just there talking about an IC718 transceiver. That's what I got over here for myself here, the ICOM IC718, but... You can't expect any of this new HF gear today to be like it was in the 50s and the 60s. It just ain't gonna be.
Andy, I'm not computer smart, but man, you got to download new firmware for them and all. Even this 950 I've got, I need to update it. But I'm not about to go in there and try and hook that interface cable up from the radio to my computer to go in there and download the upgrades to it. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to have to get Steve KNW, KN4VWA, or somebody to come over here and upgrade the thing. Because if you go in there and don't know what you're doing, they'll tell you you'll mess the radio up and it'll have to go back to the factory.
Portal. Dude, Roland's talking about that. I got you this IC-718. It's more or less meant to be a beginner's type HF rig, but it's more or less designed to be a mobile, as small as it is. One thing, this is just one thing I've got to mention that I don't like about it. The way the band switch is on it, I would rather have a band switch on it that had ever selects on upper sideband, lower sideband, AM, and works like that instead of the way they got that. You have to, as he was saying earlier, hit it just a certain way so many seconds to get that thing to do right. And a lot of times you got to keep playing with it to get it to do right. And the speaker on the 718 is about the same size as this HT speaker here. And for an HF rig, that's pretty solid.
If you got one push, one button, you can push for sideband, and then you go to what band you want. And when you pushing that sideband button, if your hand's shaky at all, and you hit that thing two or three times, and you go key the transmitter up and it ain't transmitting, you can switch it from upper side band to lower side band, and then it has got another button for AM and one to CW, but that button for sideband, if you hit it too many times, it automatically goes to AM or CW, and the radio won't transmit. And I've sat here and scratched my head trying to figure out what the problem was. And then I went back, go back and look at the manual. And I'm like Roland. Them letters on the screen up there are so small, I had to get a lighted magnifying glass to hold up there to tell whether I was in upper side band or lower side band, Andy. I don't like these new radios with all them menus in it.
CJW. 500%. I don't like them either, but that's life. Well, the radio I got is an Elecraft S40B. Sugar 40 Baker. It is a receiver only, and it was last built in 1948, and I bought one in Detroit, Michigan. I was in the military then, and I remember I paid $100 for it, and I thought it was a lot of money, because I think that was over a month's pay for me from being in the service. But it's a S40B. Go ahead, Walt.
I know that radio because that was the year I was born. This 111, I believe it's the 111 I got here. It was made, I believe, in 49 or 1950. I was trying to get something built in the year that I was born. But I might be interested in it. Just tell me what you want, Roland.
It's yours, Walt.
Phone number wrote down where you give the guy a while ago, and I can find the address on QRZ. I won't be able to get over and get it the next day or two till I get this doggone wheel bearing on my truck unless I get my daughter to take me over there. She took me up to Mooresboro, North Carolina, day before yesterday. She found a tower this lady had that her father had passed away. Pretty good price on it. And we went up there. She said it was on the ground. It was on the ground all together. I don't know how many years that thing had been up. And somebody had tried to take it apart. They rang some of the bolts off in it. I tried to punch them out. I couldn't do that. The sections that didn't have any bolts rung off. PT blasted it, WD-40, and took a sledgehammer and still couldn't get it apart. I got two sections off of it. And my daughter let this lady and her husband put it on top of her Chevrolet truck on the cab and tie it down from the back bumper and to the front bumper and drove all the way from Mooresboro, North Carolina, back up here to Lake Bowen in Inman with that thing on top of the car, or her truck. So I know she'd take me over there to pick up a receiver. I'm going to have to look that thing up and see what type of tubes are in it. And I'll order a recap kit for it. That's the first thing I do when I get one of these old tube type. I got a website I can go to, and I've got a SX-99 holocraft in there now that I'm recapping. And recap kit's usually about $40, but boy, the tubes are expensive now.
I'm sure they are. Now, this radio, when I plug it in, it lights up. I do what you were saying. I lift up the cover and turn the main dial with my fingers. It's missing that knob on the outside knob. And I've never heard any single out of it, but I do know when I used to own it, it was a great receiver. I loved it. And when I bought it, I was told it was working, but it's not working. So I figured I'm not going to put any more money in it. And I agree with you with the new receiver, with the new transceivers. The ICOM I got, I'm in a recliner here, and I have to keep moving. And I got a flashlight on the numbers because a lot of times I can't read them, but I understand that being my age, that's not the radio's fault. K1CJW.
M for ID. Andy there, KI4LZI, he said he had that same transceiver rolling.
LZI 4VI, I got the IC-718. Had a limited budget, and I didn't want to spend over $500, and I got this IC-718 back through AES, back when I used to be, as one that had been turned in and gone through. It's just like with all the rest of this gear made today. I can, with that load switch there, if I want to hear something say it's out of the ham band and I need to go to upper side band, You have to keep playing with that thing forever and a day to ever get it to do just right. That's just the way some of this new gear is. And Roland, you was talking about that, about Walt coming over and getting that. You're not that far from me, and you out here near picking somewhere.
I didn't get that last comment. What was that last comment?
I was saying you don't live out overly far from me. If you live out here around Picton somewhere, I'm up here below Table Rock State Park, below Lake Pinnacle, no, Lake Illinois up here.
We're probably 10, 15 miles apart. I'm not familiar. I've only been living in this area for 7 years, and I've only been on ham radio in this area since last January. Like I said before, I've been on a ham radio for many years, 5 years, something like that. But I was first licensed in 1950, so that makes me 71 years licensed. But this radio, the Alicrafter, I never heard a single coming out of it. I turn it on, it lights up. The tubes get warm, so that tells me that the tubes are working. And, but that's about it. There's absolutely nothing coming out of the speaker. I did hear some crackling coming out of the speaker, so the circuit to the speaker is good. But that's about it. I got out of it. K1CJW, Birdwell.
At Lafayette HA600 here now on my desk tore apart that I bought from a lady up in Fairview, North Carolina a couple of weeks ago with the same problem. And I cannot find my signal tracer anywhere. I don't know if somebody needed it more than I did. And my daughter and I went down to Lake Hartwell, took my grandson on his first fishing trip 3 weeks ago. And when we got back, the lid on my toolbox on my truck was up. They didn't take any of my tools, but my brand new chrome lug wrench was gone, and a 18-inch aluminum pipe wrench is gone, and they took a set of post hole diggers and dug up my tomato plants and my pepper plants. And I don't think they got into my shack. The only thing I'm missing is my signal tracer. And I've been looking on eBay and trying to find one. There's one on QTH 2 weeks ago. And as quick as I found it, I emailed the guy. He emailed me back and said, I just put that on there 30 minutes ago. I'm sorry, but somebody else has already bought it, so that's the way my luck's going up here.
You gotta lock everything today. What do you use that signal tracer for?
Well, signal tracer, and started the first IF. And it'll pick up the signal that radio is receiving, and you trace it through each tube and find out where it's, what point you lose the signal. And then you pull that tube and test it. Just because that tube is lighting up and heating up don't mean it. That it's any good. That just means pin one and pin, well, the last number on it, if it's an 8-pin tube, pin one and pin eight is the heaters for the tube. It just means that's working. The cathode or the plate, they could be shorted out, or the tube could have leaked a vacuum down on it, and it could be gassed. And a lot of these old radios like that, if they hadn't been fired up in a while, you do not plug them up into 110. You put them in a variac. It's a variable transformer, and you start off at about 10, and slowly, over maybe a week, at least a week, each day turn that voltage up just a little bit till you get it up to 117 to 120 volts. That way, it might not pop some of the old capacitors that's dried out, but usually it does. And that means that they need to replace. I recap everything I work on. To start with, I order a recap kit and recap it. But I don't fool with nothing but the old tube type stuff. Not about to go into this solid state. I'm too old for that.
Like a scientist can figure out them solid states. Yeah, I'm familiar with a variac. Well, in fact, I was an electrician all my life. But the seal traces, I never got involved with them at all. Of all the years I've been in ham radio, I've never been one of these hardcore, you know, amateur operator. I was sort of low-keyed, except for the time that I used to live up in Massachusetts. Yeah. I think it was a 40-foot tower, and I had a tri-bander, Cushcraft, I think. In fact, at them times, the heat kit was in business. I'm sure you heard about heat kit. And they had a pretty good amplifier, and I built my own. It came out good. And then some of the people I talked to, they told me that they'd like to have one. So I told them, well, if they buy the kit, I'll build it for them. But I used to say, you have to wait till the winter time. It gives me something to do. In the summertime, I'm too busy. K1CJW, go ahead, Will.
Familiar with heat kit. I built several heat kits myself, the receivers, but you were to see what them amplifiers are selling for now on eBay. They worth their weight in gold. I am looking for one, either a 201 or a 220, and I'm hoping this year at the Shelby Ham Fest up Shelby, North Carolina, I can run across one up there at a decent price. But like I said, those tubes are out of this world now. I had a, what was it, Tempo 101. It was made by Yaesu. And it had a pair of six SJ6s in it for finals. And I could go down to Harley Electronics down here in Spartanburg and buy a match pair of them for $14.95. I bought a 10 FT-101 4 years ago at the Shelby Ham Fest, and the finals were cooked in it. And the only ones I could find were in Russia. I paid $175 a piece for them, and I think I sold the radio to Jim down there in Pelzer for $200.
Well, I never did that in my life. I never built radios or anything like that. That was not my best hobby. I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to have to do some cooking and all that. Anytime you want to come down and pick up this receiver, make sure you call me first, will you? When you come up, there's a walkway that goes towards the back of the house. Actually, this is my daughter's house I live in. I sold my house in Florida, and I wasn't going to buy another house up here because I was too old. I was, I'm 91 now. That was 7 years ago, so I was 84 years old. And I didn't want to get involved in that, so I converted the two-car garage into an apartment for me, and that's where I'm at. And my doorway's from the back. And that's about it for now. K1CJW, I'll listen to your final wall.
Yeah, K40IM for ID. Yeah, I'll give you a call before I come over, Roland. It'll probably be maybe this weekend because I just got a text a few minutes ago when Andy was talking. My last uncle just passed away last night. And so I'm going to have a funeral to go to. And, I'll give you a call, Roland. And I really want to thank you for checking into the net. We've been trying to get the numbers up. And when I first started calling the net back in January, Tuesday night, 35 was a good count. And this past Tuesday night, I had 57 check-ins. And I was having trouble. I don't know what it was, if it was the weather, because we were having storms, or the internet server I got. But Echo Link wasn't showing. It showed KN4RJN, John, up in Summit, Browns Point, North Carolina, Browns Summit, North Carolina, and then it showed Landon down in Liberty, and I kept asking anybody on Echo Link to check in. John did, but Landon didn't, and I thought he was just listening and was going to check in later, but he never checked in, and when I went to close the net down, John came back on there and said, "Walt, you've got KI4DOS and K3JOY trying to check in. They sent you a text message down at the bottom of the page, and it wasn't on there." And then when I shut the Echo Link website down and went back to file my net report, Echo Link wouldn't go off. I had to shut the computer down and reboot it to file my net report. But I had 57 check-ins on a Tuesday night. And now that KM4HTP, Miss Wendy down there at Simpsonville, she calls the net on usually Monday night. And AA4RM, that's Robert over there in Easley, he rotates, he calls the net sometime Sunday night for Wendy.
Repeater time out, exit, repeater time out, clear.
100 people to check in on Monday nights as sort of a memorial to Ray Allison, K4SUG, that passed away about a month ago. And he was very instrumental in getting this repeater up and going and getting the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. So believe me, when somebody checks in, the net controller wonders where they at. Because we get used to you checking in, and we look forward to it. I reckon everybody is like me. I used to think when I checked in, I had to do it quick because that net controller wanted to get off the air and go back to whatever he's got to do. But it's not that way. Again, I'll let you go. I know you got things to do, Roland. 73 Andy, KI4LZI, 73 to you, buddy. Appreciate you checking in there and appreciate the information. K4OIM, I'll be clear.
KI4LZI, Portable. Judge what Roland was just saying there. This time Ben and Hobby dates back to about the time when Ray Ellison got in the Hobby himself.
Still in there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Roland.
I went on the website the other day and I found 170 listed amateur operators in Pickens County alone. I know that they're not all active, but there's 170 amateur operators just in Pickens County alone.
My zip code in Monday and asked, there's a guy that lives right a mile down the road from me. He's got a big farm there. And he's got a tower up in his backyard. And I thought it was a CB ground plane, a 11-meter ground plane. And I went online and put my zip code in and asked for the amateur operators with this zip code. And there's 40 of them. Within a 2 mile radius of where I live. And I hear them checking in on the net, and I don't know where they live. I don't see no antennas up or nothing. But 17 is rolling, and 73 to you, Andy. K4OIM, I'll be clear.
Okay, well, thank you. K1CJW is clear.
Well, LZI portable clearing, going back to monitoring on the scanner.